Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
The message I want to just bring, and then we'll go into communion, is God's dress code. That's the title of the message, God's dress code. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, the word of God says, and you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope that is held out in the gospel. This speaks to us of what we once were as enemies because of our minds and our evil behavior. And God requires that all men, all people, everywhere repent and change and turn and become believers in Jesus Christ. We were once enemies. Now, I don't know if you ever really meditated on that too much, but it's not a good thought to think that God and you were enemies. I don't like having enemies. And if you're in Italy and it's part of the mafia thing where they have enemies, you know what happens is they take you out. And so I wouldn't want God to be an enemy of God. And it says that we were once all of us were enemies, but today, now, through our personal faith, and it must be your personal faith in Jesus Christ, that you believe he died for your sins, that you believe that he rose again from the dead, and you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. That is the only way the enemy condition can be changed to friends. Through receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And so because Paul is actually writing to believers, he's writing to those who have received Jesus Christ, he's saying you are no longer enemies. You're no longer aliens. You're no longer outside from God's grace. You now are seen by God in a very different way. You are not what you were. Now that is already good news. You are no longer an enemy of God. And we know that if anyone is in Christ, in other words, has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. There is something called the new birth. Your first birth, you were born a sinner, born into sin, unacceptable, an enemy of God. But because you received Jesus Christ, you have been born again. Now that is good news. God has given birth to somebody who is no longer a failure, no longer a sinner, but is actually acceptable to God. And what we read in these verses is something that is actually only by grace. What is grace? Grace is God giving us everything we never worked for. And so if we look in these verses in verse 22, that through the cross, that's Christ's physical body, he has reconciled us. To reconcile means to make enemies friends. To bring back into right relationship. In fact, we've been made one with Christ through his cross. So you, by Christ's physical death, he has made one with Christ, and now he presents you holy in God's sight. Now in God's sight, God sees you as holy in Christ, which must mean that none of us can ever, ever, ever have such a performance in our lives of perfection. Because none of us could ever live a perfect life. But there is only one who can present us holy, and that is Jesus. And Jesus is your holiness. If you have Jesus, you have his holiness. You have his righteousness. The Bible says you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not in yourself, but in Christ Jesus. God sees you as he sees Jesus. Because only Jesus could be told that he was holy and blameless and perfect and free from accusation. Now this doesn't really easily compute with our minds. Because you and I know that none of us in any given week live a perfect life. And Paul is saying this is what God is able to do because of Jesus, not because of you. Because of Jesus. And then he goes on to this condition, if you continue in your faith. So our faith begins with accepting Jesus Christ. The moment that you do that, you are born again. But faith is to be continued to be working today. So that we have faith today that God is able to present us holy and blameless, free from accusation in his sight. And so only Jesus counts today in your relationship with God. And of course, it's faith that pleases God because you're not trusting you, you are trusting him. And righteousness is totally by faith. You are right with God, free from accusation, made holy and perfect in his sight by faith in Jesus. Okay, so it's purely a gift from God. All things have become new in you as a believer. All things are new. All things. Say all things. All things have become new. And this does not mean that, for example, if you were bald before you got saved, you will still be bald after you got saved. Or if you were 5'7" before, you will still be 5'7" after. It's speaking of your spirit man, your inner man, the eternal person that is in you, Christ in you, in your spirit. And so all things have become new in your spirit. And becoming born again, the new birth, is an event. Just as a baby is born naturally, the new birth is an event. It's rather like another example, another analogy, is it's like a marriage. That on a particular day, a couple take vows before God and in the presence of witnesses, and they become joined, one flesh. They become one. And in that event, they change from just me to us. A unit, united in love, actually. And that marriage completely changes the rest of their lives. Just as the new birth, being made one with Christ, completely changes the rest of your life. It's an event that makes a difference all the way through to the end of your days. Paul puts it like this, that I am saved. So in other words, there was a day when I was 27 personally, when I received Jesus Christ, I was saved. But he also says, I am being saved. I'm in the process of being saved. The new birth is continuing to work out in my life. And he says, one day, I will be saved when I stand before God. So he says, it's not just an event, it's a life. And we're to walk in this new life. And so, as religious teaching can creep into our lives and steal our joy. I'm going to tell you this clearly, that if you ever hear anyone, including yourself, say, I'm an unworthy sinner saved by grace, I trust that you will be able to say, that is not true. We know that we were enemies and unworthy, but now we have been made worthy. Christ is our worthiness. He has become my righteousness. He has become my salvation. He is my life. It's His life, the victorious life that is in me. And so if you are tempted to talk about grace making you an unworthy sinner, repent, change. Because God is able through Christ's death and resurrection to present you holy and blameless in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. How amazing is that? If I still think I'm a sinner, I will still continue to sin. Because I will live out what I believe. But sin has no dominion over the new creation. Say that, sin has no dominion over me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have God's DNA, divine nature, giving me everything I need for life and godliness. I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm a child of God. Grace hasn't just forgiven me my sins. Grace has changed me. I am saved by grace through faith, but I am no longer a sinner. I am no longer unworthy. Now what has to happen, and I'm going to preach this until the day I go to glory. What has to happen is that you need to get the word image on the inside of you, the truth image of who you are now, so strong on the inside of you that when anything counteracts that image, you will say, well, that's not me. If God calls me holy, I need to line up my image with His image of me. I need to line up my image with His image of me. Now that takes you applying the word to over your own heart, in your own mind, and totally renewing your thinking about who you are and speaking the word over your own heart. You see, your spirit, God has designed your spirit, your new man, to have eyes and ears. And your new man can hear your voice speak, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And whenever you say that, your spirit starts to be exposed to truth. Paul says your heart will be enlightened because the word of God, the entrance of the word brings light. Light will flood your heart. And it'll be like a new image will be taken place on the inside of you. Your heart will take the God image of truth. So strong in you that you will, because you believe that, because faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I had to work with this image a long time before I actually believed it. For many years, I did not think I was holy. And whenever I would worship God, and in my own time or corporately, I'd still feel I was a little bit on the outside because His eyes are like fire. And I was still a bit afraid of God. So I would be a little bit reticent about my worship. But God told me to start sowing the word image. He has made me holy. He is able to present me holy before the Father. Because of His blood and because of His sacrifice, He has made me holy. Not because I am holy in myself, but because He has made me holy. God and I are one in spirit. There is no sin that separates me from God. God and me can meet together in friendship and communion. It changed my whole life. And it changed my own image of myself. Because the enemy wants to attack the God image in your life and tell you you're less than. You're not quite enough. And the Word of God says that we're right by faith. We're righteous by faith alone. Not by works or performance, in case any of us would boast how good we are. We're not good. He's good. And his life has changed me into a righteous person. The old life has gone. All things have become new in Christ Jesus. I use this analogy for the first time. God spoke to me about this on Thursday night at Faith School. But I'm going to use it again because I thought it was such an inspired Holy Spirit idea. Many of you will know in India that there is something called a caste system where there is a whole hierarchy of whether you're really in or really at the top, and it goes lower and lower, so high class, middle class, lower class, no class. And these tiers of acceptance are really divided in that culture. The caste system is working in every sphere. The ones that born into this level think they're absolutely marvelous and everybody should run after them. And the ones who are in the bottom are called the untouchables. Can you believe that a system would call you the untouchables? We know that that system is set up by the devil. He wants to undermine people. His devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so these untouchables spend their lives, they were born into this. And so what do? They were born into a family of untouchables. And so all they hear about is we are absolutely the lowest of the food chain. We're right down at the bottom, guys. You will never become any more than this. All you can hope for is that you eventually die and maybe come back a bit better because they believe the wrong doctrines. And so they basically live in this, I can't improve myself. I can't get better. I think it was from Haley's mum this week. I was talking to her. She's going to India. And she said she's been in India where somebody was on the road. I think it was an accident, lying on the road. And they shouted to the bus driver, stop. And I assumed that it was an untouchable. Because the driver said, absolutely no way. Leave them to die. And that is the attitude that is in this system. Makes me want to go and preach the gospel in India. Does it make you want to go and preach the gospel? Because only the good news saves people. And so, imagine somebody in this system, in this life, in this mentality, in this absolute I'm nothing, no good, no good to anybody, get saved. And if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. What would you tell him? All things have become new. Your old birth does not identify you. You have a new birth and you are a son of God. God is your father. You can come into his house and say, Father, in your name I pray. There is hope for your future. There's a different outlook. There's going to be a different ability in your life to come into all the good things that God has planned for you. But that person would have to work with their image. Because the old image can hold you captive. But the old you died. On the cross, you were crucified with Christ. That is the best news you will ever hear. And I will ever hear. The old you was crucified with Christ. You no longer live. Christ lives in you. The life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. But you have to work on your mind. You have to speak the word over your heart until you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I prayed about sharing this testimony today because I know I don't want. I need to pray. Any testimony I use glorifies the Lord. But Friday is my day off, and going for a walk, and I was just thanking God. I'm walking along, purchasing. It was a nice day for a walk. And I'm thanking the Lord. Father, I thank you for my health, that I can walk. I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. We've had a great night at Faith School. I just thank you for all the people in the church. Thank you for Tony and Christiana, Gail and Jerry. Thank you for what you're doing in terms of the projects for Fly and for Habitat. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for my blessings. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my food. Text comes through. And, you know, so I'm in this real exuberant walk. Shouldn't take my phone. That's probably the lesson number one. Beep, beep. It's from Pastor Les and Dot, who are leaders in the Church of London. Just received a slanderous report about you, which has been sent to all the Kingdom Faith churches. And just want you to know we love you and honor you. What? A slanderous report? I said, from whom? And he said this name. It sounds like a Spanish name. So I said, well, either there's somebody who knows me and doesn't want to be recognized, or they're from another nation and I've never met them. And I said, I was talking to Sandra, and she said, actually, it came in, but I deleted it. It was so bad. She said, I didn't think you wanted to read it. I said, well, what did it say? Well, it said, you're the daughter of the devil, and you're a snake. And I went, well, that's not true. I thought, and then you know what I did? I went, yes, we're on the map in a different way. There must be something so powerful happening in the church. Come on! There was no sin. There was nothing that he could kind of put his little anchor on. Not going to say it. Just because I am who I am in Christ. I'm a son of God. I'm not daughter of the devil. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm here to put my foot on snakes. But it could have given you a bad day. Hello? Anybody out there? If you're not set in your image in Christ, it could have given you a bad day. What about when your boss gives you a bad word? Pastor, do you know what they said about you? Well, what does God say about you? And when that image, you get firm and established in that image. I mean firm and established all the time. That the righteousness of God isn't something you study when you first become a Christian and then you kind of remember it when you go to glory. It's something you live in with the mind of Christ continually. So that if anything, any accusation comes against you, you hold up. You overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Now, what does that mean? It's only because of the blood of Jesus that I am forgiven. I used to belong to the devil, and so did you. But I don't anymore. I'm a child of God. But because of his grace, I'm not even mad with that guy. God bless him. It's not an ideal thing to be doing against leaders. It's very dangerous, so I pray for the blessing of God on that man. So when accusations come, they can't change you and make you unhappy. Doesn't give you a down day. Because you're always on an up day. You're in Christ raised. That's called an up day. Forever. I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. The thing about righteousness is, until that gets rooted in me and you, then when that happens, you begin to change your behavior. Because God really is keen on showing the world his righteous children. We need to be righteous by nature and convinced of that. But then we need to live right and show a righteous life. And you know, when I first got saved, I was working for a company where the manager used to say to all of us who were on that team, he used to say to us, we had a company car, each of us, it's normal to use your personal time and claim from the company for your mileage. It's the done thing. So that's what everybody does. So actually it's working the system the devil's way, robbing the company from their profits. We're not here to rob people. So when I became a Christian, I had a new nature. My goodness me, it fought with the old one, kind of the old mindset. And I remember doing my tax claim, and I was writing down my mileage, and then I remembered, oh, I did a personal trip back home to Nottingham. And I, before then, I would try and put it in. And then I began to pay for my own mileage. And I used to get so much flack from the manager and from the whole team because I was exhibiting righteousness. But righteousness must stand out. So in other words, it's not just who you are, it's how you live. It's how you run your business. It's how you kind of make sure that your tax is paid back. Hello? So righteous by nature. John puts it like this, and this is why, if you read the book of 1 John, it's radical. He said, this is how you know who the children of righteousness or God are and the children of the devil. The children of righteousness or God stop sinning. The children of the devil go on sinning. Let me make it clear. Children of God will stop sinning. Children of the devil will go on sinning. Hello? Why? Because he's fully expectant that the new nature will change your behavior. Say, this is good teaching for me today to the person next to you. Bright shining lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We're to show our righteousness is from God, but we're here to show off his righteousness. Not show ourselves off, but reveal how gracious and good he is. Now, Matthew 22, we're going to just finish with this, and we're going to, by looking in Matthew 22, fast forward. Say fast forward. So what does that mean? If you're ever watching a DVD and you fast forward, what are you doing? You're moving ahead into a future scene. Okay? Now the Word of God shows us the future. Aren't you glad you can know the future? Tell anybody out there I'm a fortune teller. I'll give you the Word of God and that will tell you what your fortunes will be. I can tell you the future with utter confidence that this is what's going to happen. And Jesus teaches this parable in Matthew 22. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he's using a parable, a story, to reveal certain truth, to make a point. So let's read this parable about our future and hopefully the wedding you and I are going to. Say, I want to go to this wedding. This is the wedding I want to be part of. Okay, this is not something I want anybody to miss, actually, and God doesn't want anybody to miss it, but it is their choice. So verse 1, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who've been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, fat and cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I'd invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Love that. So the servants went out, I love that too, into all the streets and gathered all the people that they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing the wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Fast forward to Christ's return. Now, this isn't heaven yet, this parable. It's speaking about when Christ will come in his power and glory, and every eye will see, whether you're saved or unsaved, whatever country you live in, all will see. Every eye. Don't you think that's amazing? So this is the future. Jesus will return. And in this parable, Jesus is using the example of a wedding, but it is an Eastern wedding. So it's not a Western-style wedding. And the Eastern wedding was slightly different. He would send out the invitations, and it might be a long time before the actual wedding celebration would take place, the ceremony. And this parable really is talking about servants that God himself sent out to bring people into the marriage of his son, the marriage of the Lamb. One day, we and the Son of God, Jesus, there will be a great wedding in heaven. Okay? So he's speaking about the end times. He's also speaking about time into eternity. And he sent some servants out, and actually the first people he sent them out to were Israel, the nation that he had chosen to reveal himself through all, to all nations. But he first chose Israel to give the covenants, to give the prophets, to give the word to. And they refused to come. Secondly, he sent more servants out, but they paid no attention and went off. One to his field and another to his business. In other words, there were people that just weren't bothered. This second servant could have been John the Baptist who came. And people thought, well, that's not interesting. I don't want to hear what God's got to say in terms of the way he wants to save us and bring us to himself. That's basically the core of the story. And the invitation went out to Israel. And Israel, sometimes, you know, they reacted by killing the prophets. And they killed John the Baptist. There was a lot of suffering amongst the prophets, those who brought God's word. They rejected God's word. And so the king said, send out the servants to the Gentile nations. This is speaking of today's time, where God is sending out his church into all the world with a message and an invitation to receive salvation, basically, with the gospel. And this is the time we are now in. A time where we are going out to see people come to Christ. That's essentially what you need to know about the time you're living in, and what we should be majoring on in our life is winning people to Christ. Because there will be an end to this time. That is very sobering. There will come an end to people being able to receive God's grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, these guys, they went out, and there were good and bad people. God said, bring them all in. So in other words, bring in those who are goody two-shoes, who still need the cross, who need salvation, who are still sinners, and bring in the really bad characters. So in other words, don't be discriminatory in the way that you reach people. Go to all. Go to the really wicked. The gospel needs to go to the worst murderers, and it needs to go to the people who look the best on your street, but they need Jesus as much as anyone else. We all need saving. Yeah? That's the whole purpose of Christ and the cross and his resurrection. Now, the point I want to major on is when the king came in, all the guests were there, the king came in. I just imagine myself sitting there. Put yourself there. The king is going to come in all his glory. That's awesome to think you're going to be there. And you're going to see Jesus come in. And he cast his eye on all the guests to see one person sitting there not dressed in the right clothes. Now, I want to tell you the amazing truth in this parable about Eastern weddings of rich kings. Because the rich king wouldn't just send out an invitation to all people, but he would send out with that invitation very costly wedding garments as a gift from the king, which you were to wear right then and there to celebrate the occasion, and to wear in that final moment when the king comes in. And this speaks really of the gift of his son, Christ Jesus. So with the invitation comes the gift of God's dress code. To wear Christ, to put on Christ, to continually understand that Christ is my righteousness, that Christ alone has saved me, that it's by grace but through faith, and that I will live by faith now that I am the righteousness of God. And I trust in the grace of God that I will one day be in that banquet hall wearing Christ. It's interesting that in the wedding hall, there is a mixture of clothing. And you can go to any church, and I wonder sometimes how things will look on that day. I don't want to cast doubt on your salvation. If you're really saved and have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and are following him, then you will be saved. But if you're not fully convinced and are not fully given over to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I recommend you do that today. Because God wants all of us wearing his clothes, the clothes he's provided, righteous by him alone, by faith. And there is this separation. One party goes to the outer darkness and into eternal suffering. The other party stays in the light, has a feast, is enjoying and rejoicing all the goodness that God wants to give those who've received the gift of his righteousness. Christ alone is our righteousness, from start to finish. As we began, so we will continue. Continuing in our faith right to the end. And so really, it's down to you and to me to continually wear Christ and put on Christ. To speak the word, that's almost like dressing myself. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been made holy and blameless. And because of that, I will show a different life in the world that I live in today. The word Jesus then finishes with is, many are called and few are chosen. So the gospel message goes out to many. Many are called to come. Come to Christ. Come to eternal life. Come to a future that is beyond anything in your wildest imaginations that it's so good. But few are chosen. Now, what is the condition of God's choice? It's what you wear. You're chosen because of what you wear. And there was this one man who was wearing his own works. He decided his own clothing. He was self-righteous. He thought of himself as good enough. but only God's provision of clothing makes us right. He is alone my right with God. He is the only reason why I could sit there on that day and not be the one that is cast out into outer darkness. Christ alone is our salvation. And then into Revelation, I will finish with this, chapter 17 and verse 14. Speaks of a war going on against evil and good. And verse 14 says, they will make war against the Lamb. That's the demonic powers and principalities rising up against the Lamb through people, but this is what's going to happen. There's war against the Lamb. But the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Do you know, if you're in Christ, you're on the winning side. The Lamb will overcome. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is our God. When Jesus came the first time, he came as a baby. When he comes back, there will be no mistaking that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's why every knee will bow. So in other words, it'll be down you go. Whether you are an unbeliever or a believer, we will all get down. Because we will see him as he is. But this goes on to say, and with him will be the called, chosen, and faithful followers. Who wants to be with him? Called. Chosen because we're wearing Christ's robes. Faithful. What does that mean? We continually follow, pleasing him, doing what he wants. That's an obedience step, faithfulness. Faithfulness is always linked to an obedience thing. To be faithful to God means you're doing what pleases him, not what pleases you. And with him will be those kinds of people. Hallelujah. And it gives us an understanding that in Christ means so much. And it needs to mean more and more to each one of us. God wants to deepen the revelation of the gift of righteousness of his Son to all of us. So that we know that we are in Christ. So that we understand that today we wear Christ. And that we continually are faithful to what he has called us to do. Thank you, Jesus, for your righteousness. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Father.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.